The sixth reading will be from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Well, good evening, everyone. Always thankful for the opportunities that I have to be before you. This week, I'm going on a trip. Going on a trip to Washington, D.C. Going to go talk to the president. Not so much, just my 8th grade field trip with my kids. So, prayers are much needed. The only two male chaperones are myself and my older brother. Which, if you knew my older brother, you'd be afraid for me. But I'm going on a trip, you know. It's amazing how many trips we go on throughout our life. You know, how many journeys we go throughout our life. And when you think about these journeys and these trips that we take throughout life, you know, there's some decisions that we make that they determine a lot of the rest of our life. Such as marriage, you know. It's hard to turn back from that one. Now, people do, but it's hard to turn back once you go down that road. Sometimes the occupation that you choose for your life, sometimes that's a decision that's hard to go back from after you've chosen that, put all your education and time into it. Not that you can't go back, but it'd be a long road to go back. There's many paths that we take throughout this life. You know, when I think about path, there's a poem that I think of by Robert Frost that so often is used in our schools, and I'd like to read it. Although I'm not a very good reader of poetry, I'll do the best I can, but it's The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. It says, two roads diverge in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler long I stood and look down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay and leaves no steps had trodden flat. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in the wood, and I took the one less traveled, and that has made all the difference. You know, when I think of that poem, there's a lot of thoughts that come into my mind. I think everyone kind of relates to that poem, because we've all come to a crossroads in our life, where we had to make a big decision where we probably realized we would not go back to that same spot. I would not be able to return back to that spot when I first entered college and say, you know what, I'm thinking about a different major. That's probably a spot I'll never get to go back to again. You know, when I decided I was going to marry my wife, that's a spot in my life where it's not a place where I can probably go back to again and say, you know what, I have to take a different path. There's sometimes we have big, big decisions in our lives. And the question is what path are you going to choose throughout this life? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, it gives us this idea that certainly what we're on throughout this life is a journey or a trip. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, it says, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, with war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God. This is sojourners and pilgrims. Certainly this life is just a journey. Certainly this life is a trip. Certainly this is a life where we have to make a choice what path we're going to take. See, just like in the poem, there's a gentleman standing, he's looking at two paths, and what's interesting is when he looks at the two paths, I don't think he's sure which one's better. As he describes it throughout the poem, he looks at these two paths, and he's like, you know what, I'm not quite sure. He's like, they look about the same in many respects, and he says, today it looks like the leaves are laying on them about the same way. He says, they really look about the same. You know, in our choice throughout this life, I think God tries to not make it a question. He tries to reveal to us, as clearly as he can, which is the best path to take in this life. He does not leave it up to question. He does not leave it up to guesswork. And those two paths, I think we find in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Of course, it's not talking about paths, but dates. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Which path will you choose? He lays it out. He gives really good descriptions of both paths. He says one's narrow, it's going to be difficult to find, but it leads to life. And the one that's wide is easy to find, and many will go down it and lead to destruction. What path will you choose? He's just standing at that crossroads, as we all have. We'll stand at that crossroads and we'll look down these paths. Which one will you choose? Which one will our families choose? Certainly John lays out enough evidence and enough support to say, choose this path. You shouldn't even consider the other. But how many times people wander down that path, and they wander down so deep into that path that sometimes they feel like they can't go back. Sometimes they even feel like the person in the poem who says, "I'm sorry that I can't go down both paths." But certainly God just wants us to go down one, that narrow path. I suggest to you three reasons why we should choose that narrow path. Number one, it's a better journey and a better trip. It's a better journey and a better trip if you live the Christian life. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. See, it's a better path because God is directing that path. God has cleared that path. God has made that path straight. God has made that path good for us. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." So many times in our lives, we think we know that we have the best path. Our way is the best way. Our way of doing things is the best way of doing things. But that's not what the Bible tells us to do. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And when we do that, He sets the path up for us to go. But how many times do we depart from the path of God? That we try to be wise in our own eyes, and we depart that path. It's nice to have direction throughout this life. I remember when I worked, when I was younger, I did a lot of different jobs I would mow, and I would help build, and one of the guys in our congregation was a builder, and I would go out and help him. And without his experience and guidance, I would have gotten in trouble a lot of times. There's a lot of times where we were working on buildings that were old and we were trying to restore them, and I can't tell you how many times he said, "Kyle, you better not step on that board." He was looking over me. He was guiding me, trying to make sure I didn't have missteps in dangerous places, and certainly that's what God tried to do for us. He has cleared the path. And yet we'll say, "You know what? I'm going to go off the path. I'm not going to take the direction of God. I'm not going to avoid the pitfalls of life." And certainly as we look at life, there's certainly huge pitfalls that we can fall into. There's certainly many struggles that we can get ourselves into, many problems that we can find ourselves in, just because we wouldn't listen to the directions of God. We say, "I know a better path, God. It looks like it's better if I go this way. It's better if I take this shortcut. It's better if I do this thing." But yet God knows the best path. Will we take the direction of God? Will we let Him direct our path? Will we let Him clear the path for us? Or will we go another path? In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, it says, "Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." That's what God tries to do when He lays the path before us. He says, "This is the path of righteousness. This is a path where there is no evil. This is a path where you can keep all of that sin and all those things that can come into your life and destroy them spiritually. Keep them out of your life." Do you ponder the path of your feet? Do you ponder where your feet go? Do you ask yourself the question, "Is this what God would want me to do?" Or do we just let life come at us and we say, "You know what, I'm going to make the decision that I think is best." We don't consult God. We don't ask God for help. We don't look at God's Word. We just say, "You know what, I call it no better way." Don't leave the path of God. When He's done so much work, He's paved it, He's cut out all the problems, all the issues of this life in terms of evil and sin, and yet we think in our infinite wisdom that we will get off the path. We will set our own way. We know a better way. And yet God has laid it down. So it's nice and straight, nice and narrow, that we can stay on it and be safe. but yet we've decided to go another way. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119 and 105, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God can light our path if we let Him. I tell you something, when I get up at night, we don't have too many lights in the house, and you know what, I probably should turn the light on if I'm trying to travel around the house at night. It's nice to have a light to your path. Because when you don't have a light, what do? You stumble, you hit things, you get irritated, you get frustrated. And we could keep all of that out of our lives if we would just let God's Word guide us on that narrow and straight path. But in our infinite wisdom, we say no. You know, before we start college courses, before we try to teach our classes, we try to lay out the plan for the year, or the plan for the week, or the plan for the day. We try to tell them where we are taking them. That's what God does for us. He's not trying to trick us and say, you know what, I'm going to take... No, He lets us know where He plans on taking us. He lets us know the path along the way. And yet, we say, I don't want to know the path. I don't want to follow the path. I'll avoid the path. I certainly won't read up on the path. I'm not saying that the Christian life, the perfect life, without trials and without tribulations, but certainly we can keep our life a lot smoother if we would just stay on that straight and narrow path. Choose the right path. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, "I taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right path." He's not trying to trick us. He's not trying to throw us a curveball. I always tell my students, I am not trying to trick you. I teach what I test. I don't try to trick. I teach biology, and guess what I'm going to test you on? Biology. I'm not going to teach you chemistry and then test you on biology. That wouldn't make any sense. God is trying to lay it out. He's trying to make it simple. And yet we'll try to complicate it every way we can. And if we're trying to complicate it, imagine how easy that makes it on Satan. God tries to make it as easy as He can for us, and then Satan comes along and says, I'm going to screw this up as much as I can. I'm going to mess it up as much as I can. I'm going to make it as blurry as I can. And we, as people that are trying to follow God's path, we should not be in the business of trying to make God's path not straight, to try to not make God's path smooth, to not make it what it is, simple and easy to follow. Because Satan is at his work and he's doing his best. I like what it says in Acts chapter 13, verses 9 through 11. It says, "And Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, you will not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord." Of course, we're dealing with some miraculous incidents that Saul's about to do here by striking this individual blind. But I like the phrasing there. It says, "Will not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord." Are you trying to make the ways of the Lord not straight? Are you trying to make them confusing? Are you trying to make them wrong for yourself, but those that you love? God has done all the hard work, and we come behind and we try to mess it all up. Certainly, that's what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to make the straight path of the Lord crooked. He's trying to make it complex. He's trying to make it look confusing. He's trying to make it look muddy. He's trying to make it look murky. He's trying to make it look all of these things. And you know what? A lot of people are standing at that crossroads in their life, and they'll listen to those words. Oh, you don't want to take the path of God because of this reason. You don't want to take the path of God because of this reason. You don't want to take the path of God because of this reason. That's what Satan does. He tries to get into people's minds and never get on the path of God. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old path where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk in it." See, in Jeremiah, they had an issue. See, they saw the path, but you know what they wanted? They wanted to upgraded path. See, sometimes people try to upgrade the path of God and say, you know what? We've got option A, which is, you know, Satan's path. You know, that's a bad path. We don't want to go on that. We've got option B, which is God's path. Well, we don't really like that. And we've got option C, the upgraded path. It's not Satan's path. It's not God's path, but it's really our path, so it's good. It's the upgraded path. Why don't you get on the upgraded path with me? Why don't you choose that path instead? Doesn't the world try to complicate things? You know, sometimes we've got to do like it says in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, "Ask for the old path where the good way is." Some people are trying to upgrade the path. The path does not need upgrades. See, when Jesus died, He purchased the church with his own blood. In many senses, you could say he paid the path. He purchased the path with his own blood to get to heaven. And people say, oh, it needs upgrades. It does not need an upgrade. It was purchased with the most precious thing that it could be purchased with. Jesus Christ's blood, and people say, oh no, it needs an upgrade. The path doesn't need an upgrade. It's as good as it's always been, and it will be good for eternity. And that's where it can lead us to if we will allow it. After those old paths, don't look for an upgrade. In Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 15, it says, because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to worthless idols, and they have caused themselves to stumble in their ways from the ancient path to walk in pathways and not the highway. Because the people have forgotten him. They did all these other things. And you know what? People can get us off that simple path and get us doing all these other things that are not relevant to what the Bible teaches and try to draw us away from the simple path which God has laid. The number one reason that you should choose the narrow gate, the narrow path that God has given us, is that it's a better journey. It's a better journey. It's a better trip. Because God directs your steps. Number two is that on this journey, if you choose this narrow path, this narrow road, you're going to have better company. You're going to have better company along this trip. Let's read about some of the company that we should accompany us on this trip. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, let's read about some of the company that's going to be on this trip with us, on this narrow path, as we travel throughout this life. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not out for not only for his own interest, but for the interest of others. You know, that's the type of people I like to be around. I don't like to be around selfish people. I like to be around people who are humble and people who look out for the interest of others. If I'm going on a long trip and I'm going on a long journey, I don't want to travel with the crooks in the town. The people that if I turn around, they might rob me. The people that I turn around, they're not going to help me. The people I turn around, they're not going to assist me. If you choose God's way, the people that you meet on that road are willing to help you, are willing to assist you, are willing to put their needs to the side to put you forward. And of course, that's an expectation of you as well. See, it's a helpful path. It's a helpful road. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, we kind of extend this idea even more. Therefore, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, therefore, as you have opportunity, let it do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. This is a helpful road. You know, I think of times in my life, in my family's life, you know, when my family hit some hard times, I'm glad that they were on the pathway of God. Because you know what? They were close to helpful people. I'm not saying that if my family were not members of the church, they would not receive help. That's not what I'm saying. But my family was in proximity of helpful people. And when my family came on hard times, those helpful people were there to help. You are in proximity with people that care, people that love you, people that will extend a helping hand, people that are looking out for you. Is there a better path to be on than that? A path circled with those that are looking out for us, that love us. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, it says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. The golden rule. Do unto others as you would want them to do to you. That's the people I want to meet along my journey. Those are the people that I want to be with throughout this life. And I can tell you, as I've traveled around and preached at different places, that is what I have found with members of the church. They were always there to help me. They were always there loving me. They are always there to extend a helping hand. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 41, it says, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him two. Of course, this idea kind of appealing to the culture at the time with the Romans and whatnot, but that idea of someone that is going to go out of their way to help you, to go beyond what you ask, those people are hard to find. You say do this, and they go way farther than you thought they would. To help you, to help your family, to help those that you love. There is good company on the road of God. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38, it says, Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great command. And the second is like, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Once we start building this description, I don't know what other road you would be on. People that love their neighbor as themselves, people that do the best and put their interests aside in terms of your interests, those people that look for opportunities to help, there's not a better path to be on. What path are you going to exchange that for? The path of sin? The path of Satan? The path of heartache? Unfortunately, many people do. See, when I'm considering the path that God lays out in Matthew chapter 7, the narrow gate and the broad gate, you know, I want to go the narrow gate because on that path, I'm going to meet some extraordinary people. I'm going to meet people way better than myself. I'm going to meet people that are looking out for me and trying to assist me and help me. People that make the journey easier. Have you ever went on a trip and you had someone that didn't make the journey easier? I'm going to be hard on my older brother. He might be one of those. No, just joking. But there's people that you know if you take them on your trip, they're going to make it so much easier. They're not going to be complaining and bellyaching. They're going to say, hey, what do you need? I can help. What do you need here? What, oh, you need something repaired? You need something fixed? I'll help. Whatever you need me to do. You need me to cook. You need me to clean. What do you need? I'll help. You sick? I'll get you a bowl of soup. Those people around us in our lives make the journey a whole lot easier. They make it a whole lot better. A lot of times, those are the people that when it comes to leaving this life, those are the people that, man, just wish we could have just a few more minutes with them. Of course, we understand the relationship that Paul sets up with death and that God sets up with death, that death is something that Christians should welcome. But you know what? When we think about brothers and sisters in Christ, those people who have departed the path and went on, I miss those people. And I can think of those people that I've met as I've traveled around. I miss those people genuinely. I really do. I really do. You know, my greatest fear as I traveled around many times is I go preach someplace and then the next time I come back, brothers and sisters in Christ that I have preached to, that I love, that cared for me, that would talk to me when I was there, they were not there when I went back. I miss them so desperately. I really do. I really do. And one of the reasons that I miss them is they were such good company along this trip throughout life, as this journey as we went throughout life. You don't find these people on any other path than the Christian path. Number one, you should choose the path because it's a better journey. It's a better trip. Number two, you should pick this path because it has better company. And lastly, you should pick it because it's got a better destination. Let's be honest. It's got a better destination. When we look in Matthew chapter 7, that's not a pretty picture. And we look at people, and if you were asking those people, if they were in their right mind, you know what? You've got this path over here, it leads to life. You've got this path over here that leads to destruction. Which one are you going to choose? Well, you're going to choose life. But see, a lot of people are like that person in the poem. You know, he's looking at both those paths. He doesn't see a difference. You know, he said they kind of look the same. I don't really see a difference. See, that's our job as Christians many times to say, this is the better path. We've got to open their eyes, open the veil, get Satan away, and say, look, this is the better path. Because many people are walking around their lives and they're saying, you know what, these paths look about the same. And I don't know if I'm going to chance to come back here again. And I know I can't go down both of the paths, so I'm just going to have to pick one. And how many times did I pick wrong? We as Christians have to be there at the beginning of the road and say, pick this path. It's a better journey. It's better company. And certainly, it's got a better destination. In John chapter 14 and verse 2, Jesus talks about it shortly there in that passage. But in John chapter 14, verse 2, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. What's at the end of God's path but heaven, eternal life, and all those things? But what's at the end of the other path? Well, after a big judgment scene in Matthew chapter 25, in Matthew chapter 25, we have a judgment scene, and he's separating people to the right hand and to the left at the end. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, it says, and these will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The options are clear. There's two choices. Which path are you going to choose throughout this life? When we look at God's path, it gives us every reason to take it. It's a better journey, it's a better trip, it's got better company, it's got a better destination, all these things, and yet people, for whatever reason, they'll choose the other path. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 25 and verse 4, it says, "Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your path." Certainly that's what we want. Certainly that's what we want for our friends and family. Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your path. And let us stay on those paths for our whole lives. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 20 it says, "So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the path of righteousness." Keep to the path of righteousness. The psalmist wrote Psalm 119 and verse 35, it says, "Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it." Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. See, when we look at the two options, it's simple. However, people try to complicate it. There's only two paths, right? Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, you've got the narrow gate and the broad gate. Which path are you going to choose? When we look at the narrow gate, we look at that path. Certainly, it's a better journey. Certainly, we have better company, and certainly, it's got a better destination. But what gets me is when I read the end of Robert Frost's poem, it's what really I cling to, the end of it. He says, "Yet knowing how way leads on to way." He's getting at this idea that if I know whatever path I choose, I'm probably going to be on it for a long time. Because once you get caught up and you get so far, you're going to another thing. But he says, "Yet knowing how way leads to way, I doubted if I should ever come back." Are you going to come back to this life for a second trial? Are you going to come back to this life for a second run? Are you going to come back to this life to go back to the crossroads in your life where you have to make the decision, am I going to take God's path or Satan's path? Are you going to be able to go back to that crossroads and say, I chose the wrong path? Are you going to get that opportunity? It seems like he seems like he's not going to get that opportunity. And I know that we won't get that opportunity after this life has concluded, after this life is done. But as long as you're alive, you still have a chance to go back, retract your steps, go back to that crossroads and say, I'm going to choose God's path. Says, "Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in the wood, and I took the one less traveled, and that has made all the difference." When I look back at my life, those last few words resonate. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. You know what's made all the difference in my life? Choosing the path of God. And I reflect on that thought so often in my life, particularly over this past week for whatever reason, maybe because I was making lessons. And that has made all the difference. The path that I have selected has made all the difference in my life. As I track it back and I think of all the things that have happened in my life and all those things, I track it back and I say, thank God that I was on God's path. Do you thank God that you've chosen His path? Two roads diverge in a wood. Which path will you take? Which path will you take throughout your life? The writer says, I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Hopefully we can all say that about taking God's path, but maybe you're at that crossroads and you have not decided to take God's path. You have an opportunity now this evening to choose God's path, to choose that narrow path, the path where God directs your steps, where it's a better journey, where you meet better company, and where certainly there's a better destination at the end. Will you choose that straight and narrow path? If you want to do that, God gives us a few criteria to get onto that path. We've got to hear the Word of God. We've got to hear about the path, basically. We've got to hear about the gospel plan of salvation and what Jesus did of death, burial, and resurrection. We have to believe it. Repent, confess, and be baptized. And we've got to walk on that path. Stay to that path. Cling to that path until we get to our destination, our home. If you need the prayer for the church, you need to become a New Testament Christian. We ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing.